Encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at a very familiar couplet of verses there that often get used in explaining that God has an individual will for everybody. And in reality, what they're talking about is the moral will of God that's expressed in His Word. I've spent two or three sessions in Job. And the whole book of Job, among many other things that are taught in that book, is Job's misunderstanding of God's will. He did not understand the sovereign will of God in an exercise that involves Satan and Job and all of his family. Chapter 30 of Job, we looked at 12 different things that Job brings up and said, I've not broken my marriage vows. I haven't followed after a maiden. Now, what is that? Well, he said, I haven't violated God's moral will here. But then he goes into a string of other things about helping the poor. And when you come away with that at the end of that chapter, and actually into chapter 31, you come away with an idea that Job is thinking that somehow he's violated God's individual will for him, and that was not the case at all. What was the case? God's sovereign will, something, number one, that Job did not know, and secondly, Job could not know. And God did not reveal to him, that Satan had come to him and that Satan was challenging God. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, I said, I will make him curse you. And God said, all right, go ahead, but you can't take his life. That's all an exercise in God's sovereign will. That's important for us to understand. Many things that happen on this earth are not necessarily violations of us somehow violating God's individual will that He had for us, and we got off the track for trying to figure out what He wanted us to do for today. It can be one of two things: a violation of His moral will that He shares with us in His Word, or God is working something outside the scope of our understanding. The rapture is outside the scope of our understanding. We don't know. We know it's going to happen, but we have no idea when. Your last day on planet Earth, you don't know. All right? Some people struggle with that. They struggle with that. Some of them seek to take their own lives because they don't like where they're headed physically. Norway. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying Norway because that's where you're from. In Norway, they have legalized euthanasia. Switzerland, legalized euthanasia. They have these pods. And you can pay and you can go sit inside there and a doctor will come and hook up all the stuff in there and they'll release a gas in there and within just a few minutes, you're dead. People who have terminal cancer, has God healed people from time to time with terminal cancer? Yes. I've read testimonies of individuals who were told by their doctors they would not live and then they were completely healed and the doctors were like, I can't explain this. I don't know what happened. Where's the cancer? So if I make a decision to take my life because some doctors told me terminal cancer, then I begin to move into God's realm, His sovereign will. And that's not my realm to operate in. Now this is important for us to grasp as believers in Christ. So, I ask this question here, what about God's sovereign will? Now, first of all, I want you to get this. You can't know what it is. So you have to come to the place as a believer in Christ where we exercise faith. We may not understand why we have this particular situation going on in our life and The trial seems so horrible and terrible, and somehow we'll blame God for it. But God has a sovereign will, and He may be performing something in your life that may be the greatest blessing of your life. I remember a lady in the nursing home, Mrs. Sapp. She was such a testimony to me as a young man, young preacher right out of college. Used to visit her every time I went down to Santa Rosa Rehab Center. And she was just a marvelous Christian lady. She had Bible verses that she had asked her grandchildren to put up around the room, and she always talked about the Lord Jesus, and she would say, "Todd, let me pray with you before you go down and preach. I can't come tonight. I'm not feeling well, but let me pray with you." She'd have prayer with me because I'd go see her first. Then I would go down, then I'd come check on her to see if she was feeling any better or whatever. And she was a blessing, and I looked at her body racked with rheumatoid arthritis. Her fingers all twisted up. She was in pain all the time. She could not walk. She had to be pushed around in a wheelchair. And you look at and you say, how horrible. And she had dealt with it for years. And you know how she died? She rolled off of her bed in an effort to reach for something on her nightstand, got wedged in between, and her moving about trying to get it, she broke her hips in two places. They rushed her to Santa Rosa Hospital. The doctor ordered a complete, she was 96, a complete hip replacement. She died 3 days later. It was just too traumatic. And I went to her funeral, and I remember the whole funeral scene was amazing. I saw people I never saw before that were related to her. But I could not help but think, here's this poor lady that's battled arthritis all these years and then dies stuck basically between her bed and the nightstand. A doctor orders a hip replacement that she could not possibly survive and dies within a few days. Now, in one way, God was merciful. And you say, that's such a sweet Christian lady. Why did God allow all that to happen to her? Stop. Stop. We're in the same position Job was. Lord, I've been faithful. I haven't done all these bad things. And so far, why are these things happening to me? Stop. Come face to face now with the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God, which may include for you, Christian, suffering and hardship. I think about people who in the past died as martyrs, some of them horrible deaths, some locked in a gibbet, which was a metal cage and hung over a fire and burned to death. Some of them hung, you could actually go to the Thames River today, and they actually have a gibbet that's hung there since the 1500s, which was lowered down into the water, and as the tide came up, the person would drown. Can you imagine something horrible like that? And most often they were believers, Christians, that died. And we question God because we don't know. That's the reason. We just don't know. But God sees all eternity. And God sees His purposes. Because you know all the deaths of those individuals that died in England for the cause of Christ raised up another generation that translated the Bible. In spite of all the threats of government, a Martin Luther, a William Tyndale, a John Wycliffe. In spite of all the horrors and so forth that were going on, God used that persecution to cause men to want to translate God's Word and get it out into the tongue of the people. And it was a remarkable time. The persecution didn't stop them. God had a purpose. And we don't even know it all until we get to heaven, if God so chooses to reveal it to us, what some of His purposes were. Why did the Apostle Paul have to die the death that he died? Unjustly accused, much like our Savior, Amen. And then go and have to be beheaded. Peter crucified upside down. Stephen stoned to death as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look at that, we say, I just don't understand. And God says, that's right. That's right. Because I have a greater purpose that expands beyond yours and my lifetime. We're just limited. If we live to be my dad's age, 92, coming up here in a week or so, be 92 years of age, that's still a short time span when you consider how long it's been since creation. It's just a drop in our life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. We're here for a little, and then we're gone. We need to grasp the fact that God spans eternity, and His purposes are much greater and much longer in span than our little life here upon this earth. Therefore, God says, trust me. Trust me. Rest in me. Rest in me. Stephen could cry out, Father, forgive them. Could we cry out and say that? It was a young man being stoned to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. And his face shone like an angel as he was snatched from this earth into the presence of God. And we sit back and say, Lord, how could you let that happen? He was going places with the gospel. Oh, God raised up others to take his place. And the gospel went forth. There is this matter, Christian, that every one of us have to come to grips with. We look at our lives and we measure it in minutes, hours, and days. Think about that. Some of you have already got your day planned tomorrow. You're going to Walmart. That's what you do every day, right? Have to go to Walmart? Okay. Lindsay gets the text. I need milk. And Lindsay runs down to pick it up, right, brother? It's the right milk. There is a right milk. I didn't realize that originally, but there's a right milk, isn't there, dear? She'll tell me where not to go to get milk. And make sure you get this kind or whatever. There's a right and a wrong milk. And I didn't find that in the Bible, but I was told that by my wife. So us men, we just do what we're told to do, right? Amen. Even wives have sovereign wills. Did you know that? All right, I'm getting off here. I want you to look at some very familiar verses of Scripture because I want us to look at the Proverbs, and we're just going to go slowly through this. Confusing the sovereign will of God with an individual plan or will. People do this. Job did it. Job's four friends did it. They confused the sovereign will of God and the purposes that God had for Job with some kind of an individualized will that Job was violating before God. Now, I want to see how this plays out. Many proverbs are used by Bible teachers to promote the idea of an individual plan or will of God. Is this true? Or are we mistaking the sovereign will of God for an individualized will of God? Knowing what words are used by the wise writers of the Proverbs through pen of inspiration is extremely important. What language was the Old Testament written in? Hebrew and Aramaic. You can go to the book of Ezra. You can go to the book of Daniel. There's Aramaic passages that have to be translated, had to be translated into English. Hebrew is one of the most difficult languages to translate. You thought Mandarin Chinese was, and it is. Or Hindi. There's like 28 different dialects on the subcontinent of India, and they're all extremely hard to find an English word for. Hebrew is that way. And so we have to dig into God's Word because we look and see an English translation and we say, this is that. But sometimes the English translators did not have in 1611 what we now have today. And we have at our fingertips these materials that are available to us. And we need to take an interest and look at what's being said. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Every one of us learned it as children. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Now, I'm not going to cast any doubts on the Word of God, but I want us to understand more clearly what's being said there. Because sometimes people say, see there's an individualized plan right there. He will direct, every day, direct your path so you know which way to go. He's already given us that. It's called the Bible. You think how many times you violate the Bible during the day? Well, I don't violate the Bible. Don't you dare say that about me. When we don't rest in the Lord, we're violating the Scriptures. Let's be honest. When we violate, Dad had a conversation with an individual today on this very issue that claims to be a Christian, but lives in constant fear something's going to happen. That's not an individual trusting and resting in the Lord. We live with all kinds of fears. I'll never forget, I got a package from Mom at Bob Jones, one of those, what do they call those things? Care package, all right? And Mom always put in there clippings from the Pensacola News Journal, all right? And some of them were just absolutely horrible. I found out about all the people that died and all the accidents and so forth like that. But there was one story that she sent to me about a family that had complained to the police about the crime in their area, so they ordered burglar bars for their house, only to die in a fire within their house because they couldn't figure out how to open up the burglar bars to get out. Fear, panic. We got to have burglar bars to protect us. But what they didn't think about was fire. Whenever they got in there, everybody inside the house was dead, and they found padlocks on the inside where they had locked, and they couldn't find the keys that went to them. And they were all dead. Now, as a college student, when I read that, It was shocking to me. One fear led to another problem that this fear didn't take care of. About the fear of fire. I've heard people say, I hope I never burn to death. That would be the most horrible death. And they list out all the things you can possibly die of. All right? Just the other day, a young man died, just graduated from high school. This is up in the Northeast. He was hit from behind in Pennsylvania by a tractor-trailer rig, killed instantly. And everybody that was in his class was just weeping, talking about he didn't get to live life. He had no idea as he was sitting there at a stoplight that within just a few seconds his life would be snuffed out. And someone commented, if you're going to go, that's the way to go. If you could pick your poison, that's what I would pick. Now, the humanness within us say, yeah, that'd be a quick way to go. Because we're afraid. We're afraid to suffer. We're afraid that God, in His sovereign plan, may have me go through a portal which lasts a horribly long time. And I don't want that to happen. Now, what are you not submitting to? Are you submitted to the moral will of God in that case? Are you submitted to the sovereign will of God, who alone will determine the date and time in which you'll leave this earth? You see, our Christianity only goes so far. Our understandings of the Bible only go so far, and then we let our humanness take over after that. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to rest in Him. Turn it over to Him. Lord, whatever way you choose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If Job had chosen a way for his children to die, would it have been a tornado that would wipe them out and kill them? You would never think of something like that. But that's what God planned and took out 10 children in one fatal stroke. And then all of the cattle and all the goats and the sheep and everything like that, gone just like that. God's sovereign will is something to be trusted. And I want to develop this because this is what is pictured here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, we'll stop there. I want to read you the verses again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Where are we told to trust in the Lord? Throughout the entire book, trust in the Lord. Moral will, right? The moral will of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Over and over again, you find that. With all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy heart. All right? We're to love the Lord. Trust in the Lord, we're told in the Bible to do that. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Whoa. Stop for just a moment. What does it mean to lean, by the way? All right? It means that you're resting. Right? That's what you do when you lean. We have to get on the kids all the time in the hallway leaning on the wall. They get up to the wall and they lean on it like that with their big greasy hair up on the wall and their sweaty elbows and so forth. Now stand up straight. Stand up straight, you know. What are you doing? You're resting. Rest not on your own understanding. What does that tell us about our understanding? Our understanding can be perverted. It can be twisted. It can be incomplete. So whose are we supposed to be leaning on? All right, the expression of God in His Word. We lean on that. We rest in that. The whole idea of leaning gets misunderstood. It simply means to rest. You're taking the load off of your feet, shifting it to one side, and you're putting your weight. And then when you shift to the other side, and you lean this way, you're shifting the weight. It's kind of a comfortable position. If you're like this all day, like a soldier, or like those, English soldiers that have the big woolly... I tell you what, I would never run for that kind of position. You get to stand outside a Buckingham Palace for 8 hours in the humidity with a big woolly cap on your head. You can see them there on hot days, sweat just pouring down their faces, and they're completely still. Kids come up there and pull on their pants legs, and people take selfies with them and all that kind of stuff, and they have to be perfectly still for all that time period. Now, leaning takes the load off one side. It means to rest, allows some other object to support our weight. So we're not to be supporting our weight on our understanding, and this is where most people live, their own understanding. And God clearly says, don't lean on that. If you lean on that, somebody's going to jerk that away and you're going to fall to the ground because you've got your weight shifted. And you might catch yourself or you may hit the ground. But then there's this third aspect here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I wonder how many people can say, in all my ways I acknowledge God. Let's be honest. Let's be honest about that. It's an easy verse to say. And by the way, what does direct mean? All right? It simply means, I will provide the means whereby you can be guided. And you know what he did? He completed the Word of God. When that proverb was written, how much of the Bible had been completed by that time? First five books. Solomon was alive just a few years after Samuel died. And Samuel had written 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, Ezra, 1 and 2 Chronicles. So these are people that are still alive or just after Solomon. They don't even have a completed Bible. Now we have a completed Bible. Has God provided guidance to us? Yes, He has. In His Word. So is He talking about an individualized plan? I think not. He's providing everything we need right here in this book. And the problem is we don't spend a whole lot of time in our Bibles like we should. And so we jump to these conclusions without understanding and knowing what is God actually saying. He was saying, I'm going to provide everything that you need. Solomon could say that in his day. And all he may have had was what was copies in the temple at that time, which he built, by the way. And they brought the scrolls in, and he was able to probably read some of those things. But a lot of that was through prophets speaking God's word. We're going to stop there tonight because I've got some other proverbs that I'm going to get into because there are several others that are used as proof texts for an individualized will, that God has a specific will for Todd Brainerd, and you better figure out what it is day to day or you'll be outside the will of God. And God has clearly said, I have my sovereign will and I've expressed my moral will to you. Get in my word and live it. Get in my word and live it. Yes, seek my face. Seek my face. I'll show you things you may not understand and know. And by the way, one of the wisest statements that I ever heard was Dr. Bob Jones Sr., if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. I think that's a wise statement. Basically, that's what the Bible says. Don't just rush out there and do your thing. Because when you do your thing, you're going to get in trouble. I have spoken over this summer with people that have done their own thing. And they've made such a mess of things. They've messed up so many different things about what their decision making because this was not consulted. They were just doing their own thing. Okay? They were resting in their own understanding, leaning on their own understanding, which is faulty. How many of you saw the pictures of the building buckling in New York City? Okay? New structure. Big steel beams buckling under the weight because they're insufficient. That particular company has been fined over and over and over again for safety issues and problems with the construction, and now they got a building teetering on tipping over and falling into the other buildings there. Somebody wasn't doing their job on the city side and on the construction side. They were leaning on their own understanding. We're going to get by as cheaply as we can. We're going to make as much money on this project as we can. We'll cut a corner here, cut a corner there. And now all of a sudden you're on the 23rd floor and you're doing your work and you start seeing things. And people are on the phones or calling everybody. We got something bad going on the 23rd floor. Leaning to their own understanding in the construction world. You can't cut corners when it comes to the Scriptures. God says, you choose to go outside my moral will. There are consequences for that. There are consequences. And may we help ourselves to understand more clearly that there's only two wills. There's God's sovereign will that I can't know. I can't know it. I will see its after effects of His will. All the things going on right now in the Middle East. I don't understand what all was happening here. But those Iranians are not going down easy. They're still firing off missiles. You know, and so we're over there pounding them tonight. And I don't know what's going to happen over there. I know what the Bible says will happen in the future. They're still going to be in power. They're still going to rise up against Israel, so something's going to happen here. But all that's in God's sovereign will, His timing, things I can't understand. And then there's the moral will. He gives us hints about the future, tells us what things are going to happen. But all the details that aren't given to us in this book are all in the sovereign will of God. And we've got to learn to rest in Him. Father, I thank You for Your word. Teach us, Father, not to add things into the Bible to fit a narrative that somebody wants to push but rather let the Bible speak for itself. And I thank you for the testimony of these individuals. We are not here to criticize Job. We're right there with him. We simply unveil what you've said in your word and what you told Job. Who is this that darkeneth counsel? And Job says, it was me. I heard about you, but now I see you. Teach us, dear Father, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.